This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be telling some campfire-like stories, just some short stories about things that happened to us in our childhood, in our past, things that were kind of near misses, bad decisions, odd parenting, and things like that. So
it could have turned out really bad. But we survived somehow.
We did.
In the 80s and 90s.
And so we're going to have a couple of special guests tonight. We have Stephanie with us, and she's going to tell us a little bit of a strange story that happened to her family in her childhood. And then we're also going to have Mandy's sister, Missy, call in later in the episode to tell us a little bit about a creeper in their life, childhood.
Okay.
So Mandy's going to go first, and she's going to tell us, actually it's a third person story, I guess, yeah. Something happened to somebody else, but a little bit of a creepy, you know, babysitting story. So yeah. Tell us all about
it. So it was in the 90s, and it was a good friend of mine who told me the story years ago, and it just really stuck with me, and I've never been able to forget it. And the other day, Leanne and I were talking about creepy stories, and this was the one that came to mind. So this friend of mine, I'm pretty sure this was in the 90s. She was in college, I believe. And so she was babysitting she was going to do an overnight babysit job for a lady. She was a single mom and she had two kids, a boy and a girl, I believe. And so the lady left, you know, and she had the night with the kids and she put them to bed. So I think it was like maybe 11 or 12 at night. And so a man's knocking on the front door. So she goes to the door and he said, "Oh my gosh, you know, I've driven so far. Please let me in and see my children because, you know, I haven't seen them in so long and I'd like to see them." And so, you know, my friend, she didn't know anything about her ex-husband. So she just figured, you know, that this man's driven so far. I need to open the door for him. And she said she was going down to, I guess she could see him. Maybe it was a glass door. Mm-hmm. So she was going down and she was about to open the door, and she had her hand on the door handle, and she said she just saw this creepy, like, grin on his face. Like, he was succeeding, and, you know, she fell for it. She was about to open the door, and she said she just stopped. And she was like, and she backed up away from the door. And I guess that sort of made him angry, and so he started banging on the door and, like, turning the door handle and, like, trying to get in and, like, going crazy, like, doing everything he could to get in the door. So she didn't know what to do. So she ran in the back bedroom, and it was the boy or the girl. I'm not sure which child. They were asleep, you know, sound asleep. It was late. It was, like, 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And she drug the baby out of the bed, the kid. I don't know. He wasn't a baby, but drug him, I'd say, you know, 6, 7, 8, whatever. Drug the kid out of the bed into the living room. And, like, the kid's, like, asleep, but she's, like, you know, it's just craziness. This man's at the front door going crazy. She drags the kid into the living room, or into the foyer, the front door, and says, "Is that your dad?" And the kid says, "No."
And the guy's, like, beating on the door.
Yeah, and so I guess he, like, sees her, like, you know, go run to the phone. I mean, because there's no cell phones. They have a landline, and she calls 911, and they come. But, of course, when they come, they're, like, "Oh, well, there's nothing we can do, ma'am." You know, and she's like, "Okay." And so even the lady, like, the next day she comes back. Imagine sleeping in the house that night, yeah, right?
There's no way I would have slept a wink.
I would not have slept.
I would have called my parents and gone home.
I didn't sleep.
Like, when a stranger calls,
yes,
and
yes.
Mm-hmm. The strangers, that's going to be a no.
Yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of.
I would have called my parents, like, "Come get me." Probably.
Yes, I know. And so she said the next day, I was like, "Well, what did the lady that you babysat for, like, what did she say?" And she was like, I was like, "Oh, that's weird." And, like, yeah, since she acted like she didn't even know who the guy was.
And all of our stories tonight, y'all, are going to be like this. Like, everybody's, like, back in the 80s and 90s, we're like, yeah, "Well, everybody's okay now. Just moving on." I mean, like, it's not like it is at all anymore.
Yeah. And so that's exactly, like, what the lady and the police and everybody said. They were like, "Oh, I don't know." But I always thought, I was like, it's so crazy that she never knew who that was. But I thought, you know, she never came back.
It must have been somebody that was watching her. I know that sounds super creepy, but it had to have been somebody that wanted her, not the kids.
It must have been somebody, so
that was watching her, I think.
Was watching the babysitter, or, okay, the man had to have known that the lady was out of town. The mom was out of town. Because how else would he have known?
That's what I'm saying. He must have been watching the babysitter.
Yeah, maybe he'd been casing the joint.
Yeah.
Watching a babysitter, because obviously if it was the kids he wanted, or if it was the mom that he wanted, he would have tried again probably. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I just feel like it was
he probably would have come back focused more
on her. I think that it was probably him looking at the babysitter, like watching.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know. But what was so weird, too, I mean, otherwise, yeah.
Too bad we don't know. It must have been a small town, because...
But nothing ever happened to the babysitter again? She never had anything weird happen?
It never happened.
I wonder if she ever babysat for him again.
I guess I hope not. I hope not. I haven't asked her.
I wouldn't have. Not there, anyway. I've been at home.
Yeah, I just thought it was so creepy, because, like, he thought, you know, I've got this girl. Who knows what he would have
done. And now they'd be like, can you give us a composite sketch and all that? You know, like, back then, they were like, well, no harm, no foul.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Yeah, that's odd. She just knocked on the door and tried to get in. But, and it's so creepy, because they also knew that the children had a father that didn't live there.
Yeah.
But she had an ex-husband. So anyway.
And also, it's also strange because, like, back then, babysitters didn't know a lot about the families they were babysitting for. Like, now, people know everything. Like, nobody would let their child come babysit for you without knowing everything about you. Who's the baby daddy? Where does he live? Does he have a criminal record? Like, it's so different now because there's so much more information out there.
Yeah,
you know, back then, it'd be like, oh, yeah, you're going to babysit, make $10 an hour? I'll drop you off over there.
Yeah, but back then there was
Pat's or random.
If it was $10 an hour, there would be no question.
Or, you know, whatever. Yeah, like random, you know.
$2 an hour.
Don't know Pat's last name, but I'll drop you off over there to babysit for the night. You know, it's not like
and
that.
You gotta walk back home.
Yeah.
But anyway, so all right, that's my first story. Okay, so Stephanie's got a story. And of course, this is my favorite subject, which is a UFO type story. And Leanne doesn't believe in UFOs, but I do. So.
And I haven't heard this story yet. I only heard like bits and pieces of it. So I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna give it a chance here, because you know aliens are not my thing.
Well,
but
this story, my parents and sister, which she is 11 years older than me.
Okay.
But they always told this story a lot. I was probably 2 or 3 when it happened. So it was late 80s, and we lived in a super little town called Shorter, Alabama.
Okay.
Really close to the dog track.
Yeah.
And
my parents went there in the 80s.
Yeah, we were right off a dirt road. I can picture it in my mind, and it was just surrounded by fields, and we had like 80,000 field cats or barn cats.
Because
one time I got cat scratch fever, but that's a whole
thing. Oh, wow.
I didn't even know it was a real thing. I thought it was just
a
band.
No. And you lose your hair
that's
from it,
song,
too.
That's a song, Mandy.
Yes. Oh, it's a song. That's a song.
Cat Stevens.
I lost my hair in the spot, and it came back curly. But like I said, that's... Anne was on antifungals, but that's the story.
Oh, my God. I didn't know it was a real thing.
And again, my parents are just like, oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll come back.
It'll grow back.
Yeah, she's good. She's good.
Kind of a reaction back then.
Yeah.
But they always told this story, and I wish that I had been privy to see it, but I was not. So I just have to go off their word and just trust that the whole entire house wasn't drinking that night.
Well, yeah, that
probably was. But no
pictures. No pictures. No social media.
Well, there was no cell phone.
In Shorter, Alabama, they did not have a newspaper. So it's not like you can even go Google like 1986 to 88 possible UFO sighting. I mean, you know, it was Macon County in the 80s. Nobody was, it would be very easy to keep hush hush.
Yeah.
But they said that they were in the house and they saw this really bright light. And it must have woken my sister up, because all I ever remember of her was she had one of those huge stereos, you know, that was like larger than life in a glass case.
Did it have a double cassette?
It had a double cassette, radio, and turntable.
Dang, that was
double
crazy.
Cassette. You could record from one.
And she would listen to like stuff like Richard Marx and stuff like that, you know, whatever boyfriend du jour and her song was. And I had to sleep with her.
Yeah.
Or my parents, and so I would listen to that, but apparently it woke her up too, and she was a pretty dead sleeper, so it must have been a very bright light.
Yeah, the light was shining.
Yes, and they went outside, and it was down the road some. So I don't know if they got in the Buick LeSabre and drove down the road or exactly what they did, but they got closer.
Yeah.
And they saw an unidentified flying object in the sky. Now, I don't know what this looked like. Because, you know, a UFO could be, I mean, it's an unidentified flying object. So it could be anything in the air.
In my mind, I see something round with lights.
Yes, I see like Mars attacks. But that's not really what they just said it was so bright. It was just hard to even tell what it was. And so they were pretty freaked out. And it was just kind of hovering. Mm-hmm. And they didn't hear any sirens or anything like that going on. Uh-huh. So
it wasn't like any sound. They just said it wasn't because I've heard.
No.
I hear like a humming sound.
Well, I've heard a humming sound, but I've also heard totally silence.
It wasn't the sound that got them. But it was the lights.
Yeah.
And, but it was so blinding.
Was it way up in the sky or was it kind of like hovering?
No, hovering. Like, closer.
Like, could it suck them up into it?
Well, hovering. I mean, could have. I mean, you know, I don't even think they didn't even seem that scared by this when they were telling me this story.
It was kind of like a constant family story.
It was just like we saw these really bright lights. And it was really weird and really freaky, but then we went inside and went to sleep. I mean, you know, I never got...
We didn't call anybody.
Because who would you call?
Yeah. Keep me from my nap.
No. I mean, 911. Yeah, they weren't going to call. And the next day...
What with the shorter police?
I don't even think they had.
We're gonna say your parents' last name was Smith. Those Smith people are out there on the farm, drinking again.
I mean, and coincidentally, that was my mom's maiden name. It's totally fine. Yeah, I'm not telling our last name at the time because that's infamous. Yeah, especially in that area. But they went out. I don't know what time it was, and I don't know exactly who saw. I think it was my dad.
Okay.
But he went up the road a little bit where they had seen it. And of course, he was curious. Well, he said the road was barricaded. Mm-hmm. And he saw NASA vans.
What?
Yes.
In Shorter, Alabama in the 80s. I'm so jealous. Like,
how'd they get there so fast?
I don't know. It was like two NASA vans, which, I mean, you have to think, you know.
Like Men in Black.
They do have, you know, Cape Canaveral and stuff like that. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, if NASA is a thing and aliens are a thing, then they could be anywhere. NASA. I mean, if they know.
Well, NASA's just in Huntsville, Alabama. It's not that far.
And that is.
But nobody called. Maybe somebody else called NASA and said.
Or maybe they, like, saw something on their radar.
Oh,
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Like, they saw it on the radar.
But I think probably what got their attention was the kicker of the story that always got me was it happened. It was a field that was barricaded, and it was an empty field, and it was a. Where some cattle grazed, and all of the cows were dead.
Like right that second, the next morning they were dead. Like it was
the next day.
Oh, okay.
They were dead on the ground. My dad saw them on the ground dead.
So your dad
don't know the time frame of when they were dead. And my dad just kind of asked around town.
Okay, hold on. So the next morning, your dad got curious and
drove.
Okay, sorry. Just I'm driving. Thinking it's all the same.
No.
Like, and how did NASA
he saw
get there
the NASA
so quickly?
The next day?
Yes, the next morning.
Okay.
Yeah, it was barricated.
That took some time.
He saw it.
Makes a little more sense.
Yeah, he'd gone to sleep, woke up the next morning, going to work, whatever he did. And he saw the NASA vans with the barricaded road. And the dead cows.
Wow. Yeah.
And he asked the people who owned the property what happened, and they would not talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
They just said that something happened to their cows and that.
Well, no, she is.
Yeah. Like, but, you know, they were like, well, we don't know. Maybe it was someone had poisoned them or, you know.
Yeah, because that's what they were told to say by NASA.
Yeah, they would not discuss it. And then my dad just kind of asked around town and no one knew anything.
Yeah.
And then that was that.
Did they have, was your parents' farm near their farm? Was it like down the street? Because obviously it could hover over your farm.
We're talking about a road that was just open field. I mean, everything was just open fields, gates. We had our house down the dirt road. And then the other area was just, there was no house. It was just open field. Yeah. I guess it was just an open pasture.
Open pasture with cows, I guess. Did y'all have any cows or anything?
No, we didn't have any cows.
Okay, so they did. And then it, so it was like maybe they were hovering, looking in your farm. They didn't see any subjects to, you know, do a whatever. What's it called when you do?
I don't know. So I was about to ask you and all of your research in the alien community.
Yes.
What is the benefit of of aliens coming down with a UFO to kill a bunch of cows?
Okay.
What is their benefit?
It's like one or two things. Like, well, it's either the radiation killed the cows, but usually I would think maybe like the radiation like getting too close. But no, I don't think that's it because the cows are usually mutilated, which is pretty gross. But that I think, okay, the reason I think they do that is because...
We don't know if the cows are mutilated, right? We don't know what happened.
He just saw them dead.
He just saw them laying down. So what I'm saying is they were probably mutilated.
But what is the benefit to that?
So the benefit, only thing I think, nobody knows on my alien shows that I watch, like Ancient Aliens or wherever that I've seen that. But I have heard that. It was funny that she said that because, and this is from the 80s, you know, way before this came out. But that is a, like, known thing that cows... have been dead.
Are they just sensitive to UFOs?
Well, that would be the radiation, my thought. But no, I think that they like dissect them.
Or they could be scared to death.
Well, no, I mean,
they just drop
or the radiation. But what I think,
so UFO puts off radiation.
It does. Yes, there's some people that have had like some radiation issues, like not poisoning, really, where they're like dead, but they've had
like burns their skin.
Yeah, or like rashes, or they've gotten sick and things like that. And they said when they like did tests on them, it was radiation. Like Betty and Barney White, is that their name? No, that's Betty White. Betty and Barney Hill. That was one of the famous cases.
I thought you were going to say Rubble. Sorry.
Radiation.
What does the Flintstones have to do with that?
Okay. I mean, they have one Martian on there.
It's my ADD brain. But there's been cow mutilation. I can't say that word right tonight.
Mutilation.
Mm-hmm. And what I think, though, it's like they're dissecting the cows. Or
trying to figure out how they work.
Maybe.
But
why would they need to keep on doing it?
I don't know. I really hope they don't think that that's our highest form of whatever. A cow. Please don't think that.
Maybe because humans eat them. I don't know. But anyway, because, I mean, they abduct aliens and they... I mean, they abduct aliens. Aliens abduct humans.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, they say they do. I'm just saying. They say they do. And they're doing, like, experiments. So maybe that's what they're doing on the cows. The same thing they do on us, but... But they just leave them there because they think, well, these people, humans eat them anyway, so we can just leave them here dead or mutilate them. But they usually bring us back. I'm just letting you know.
I just want to know.
When they abduct, we won't get on it too far, but when they abduct people, supposedly humans, they bring them back. That's all I'm saying. They put them back in their bedroom. Okay. So that's pretty crazy, and I was just really excited about that because I don't know anybody. I just know I saw a stealth bomber one time, and I called my dad looking at the 90s, and I was like, there's a UFO over our house. And he said, Mandy, is it black, and is it da-da-da-da? And he described it. I said, that's exactly what it looks like. And he said, that's a stealth bomber. And I was like, oh. Because it was really silent, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say that stealth bombers were made from, it's called, like, back-end engineering or something. What's it called? Where they, like, we learned about... Like if the Roswell crash and we...
Area 51.
Yeah, we confiscated their spaceships. Then we learned how to reverse engineering. That's what it's called.
Okay.
And that's how we came up with stealth bombers, just so y'all know, because they don't come up on radar. So.
Well, you know, the government did issue, while COVID was out, which was kind of like ill timing, was saying that UFOs were real, but everybody...
Didn't care because they were
nobody cared.
So they slipped it in a little bit.
Yeah, it was so anticlimactic.
By the way,
at that point, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah, no, nobody cared because they were all like, we're in a pandemic. But they slipped the information. Slipped my kids a Benadryl, they're little, but anyway, they slipped in that information. But I'll send my kids articles, that one you're talking about. And I send my kids and my husband articles all the time that say, like, aliens are real. And I'm like, see, I told you. Like all the time, but anyway,
on the 2020 bingo card. Aliens are real. Check. COVID. Check.
What's next? But okay. So anyway, we're gonna get on to the next story. Sorry, we get off a little bit on the tangent, but it's fun to talk about the stories. Okay. Leanne.
Oh, so yeah. So I just have a little like mini story, just kind of a creepy one from when we were kids. So we were all on the gymnastics team, and we had a gymnastics meet in Mobile. And we went down the night before, like the team and then like a couple of the coaches. And we were staying at the Red Roof Inn,
which is in Hallowbury, y'all.
Real highfalutin.
You and my sister were there.
Yeah, right? Me and Mandy's sister were both on the team together. I don't know, 12, 13? I think I was, yeah, because I think it was towards the end of my gymnastics career.
Yeah.
And so we were all in the room, you know, just doing girl stuff. And somebody knocked on the door. And I don't remember all the details because it's been a long time. And I just hadn't thought about it.
How many years ago was it?
None of your business years. None of your business years. Uh-huh. And so I know we didn't open the door. The dude's goal was for us to open the door, but we looked out the peephole or whatever. It was a guy in a police uniform or security guard uniform or whatever. And I don't know if he said, open the door, or I don't know what he said.
He was trying to get in.
He was trying to get in one way or the other, but we didn't let that happen. So then he walked away eventually, and then we went out the door to go next door to where our coaches were with some other girls in the room. And then so we saw him get on a motorcycle down because we were up on like the second thing. You know, it was outdoor entrance. Not safe.
It's called a motel.
It's called a motel, which I equate to camping. We saw him there. And then so the coach went down to the front desk and asked, you know, hey, he just came to the door. Is there a problem? Whatever. They're like, we don't know what you're talking about. There's no such person here. No security guard. Nobody called the police. No nothing. So we really dodged a bullet on that one.
I don't know how smart on that because we were pretty daggum stupid, especially the next story Pastor and I are going to tell. We were like dumbest kids ever.
We have so many.
I don't know. My mom had me thinking that everybody was out to kidnap kids.
That's crazy. I convinced my kid of that always.
Yeah, like everybody was like, if I saw a van, I thought it was a rape van. Like automatically.
Yeah,
one time I was in with the next door neighbors, we were going to do a lemonade stand. And I saw this white van coming up, and I'm like, bye,
it's
y'all.
White van.
Yeah.
I ran to the door. Mom's like, what's
always
wrong?
Emma calls it a kidnapping van.
I'm like, there was a rape van. Not doing lemonade.
I would tell my kid all the time from a very young age.
Our mom did not do this, by the way.
Yeah, I would tell him.
I think it's because I was the youngest.
Well, your mom was smart. Yeah.
I would tell him all the time, if you go away from me, if you get away from me or you do anything you're not supposed to do, somebody will kidnap you. You'll be across lines in a trash can before I even know you're gone.
My friends make fun of me because as like their mom, if I was ever with friends and got their parents were getting out of the door, like or leaving the car door to go into a store, I would automatically lock the door. They're like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because everyone wants to kidnap us.
All kids do. Now, I didn't. We'd have the window down with the car off.
Oh, my 16-year-old still does that.
Yeah.
You were really ahead of us on this stuff.
I think maybe my mom was coming up, and it was like the 90s.
Yeah.
The 80s, and then, you know, then America.
Maybe the 80s and the early 90s were really
then
young.
America's
maybe
Most Wanted.
Yeah,
Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries. Yeah. Oh, that theme song was the scariest.
Really, no. Still creeps me out to this day. I'm glad did they change it for the new one? I don't know.
If I got separated from my mom in the store, like in Walmart or something, and I would go have her page, she'd be mad at me for having her page. I would have customer service immediately.
Yeah.
She'd be like, don't have me page. Like, what do you mean to do? She would
just
be embarrassed. Like, don't have them say my name.
Just spend the night in Walmart.
Yeah, don't say my name over the thing. I'm like, how do you know I'm not dead? I mean, it's totally different parenting. I mean, I was telling her earlier, just like another little small story. My sister and I let the rainbow vacuum cleaner guy in one time. Gave us a whole entire demonstration. My mom was at work. My daddy was at work. My sister is 8 years older than me. I was probably, I don't know, she was in high school. I was probably 8 or 9 or so. We just let him come on in. Sucked the stuff out of the sofa cushions. We watched the whole thing. Sat on it because it would like blow up and down the whole 9 yards, like an hour thing.
And your parents were at work.
My parents were at work. We just let some random man in the house just. Hey, that looks like fun.
What's
you know,
so weird is the rainbow vacuum cleaner guy was just totally okay with giving a demo to kids.
To two children. Because I think he had to check it off. Like, I think they had a quota to meet of how many demonstrations they did. So
he knew y'all weren't going to buy it. Obviously, you were
children.
Yeah,
we were not
going to
buy
it.
But we just freely let him in. Closed the door behind him and everything. Like, no big deal. Whatever.
Yes, that is just nuts, the stuff that we did. And we survived. I don't know. Like, with all these true crime stories and all these things that we hear, I'm like, I don't know how we survived. I mean, how we made it out of it. And that's what all these stories are focused on tonight.
Me and Mandy's sister ordered a pizza to her bedroom window one night. Like, didn't tell the parents.
In the 80s. Yeah.
In the 80s, yeah. Like, paid for it with change.
We didn't want to tell them because y'all would get in trouble.
Like, took some money out of her dad's wallet and got some change off the dresser and ordered it. No screen in the window. Opened up. The Domino's guy could have been like...
Y'all told the pizza guy to come to the window.
Yes, we did. It was like the second window from the right of the front door. Yes.
It's just like, sounds legit.
Yeah, sounds good to me, you know.
And the guy delivered it.
He did.
He was like, what?
I'm pretty sure we gave him like a dollar tip change.
He delivered it, though.
Yeah. My kid would never do that now. Never. Like, he would, it would never, never. We didn't think twice about it. We're like, oh, it's no big deal. You want to order us a pizza? We'll order our own pizza to the window.
Because she wouldn't do
11-year-olds.
Yeah, they didn't order a pizza for us unless it was, like, our birthday.
Yeah, like a
it had to be a Friday, and you had to go to, like, Movie Gallery or Blockbuster.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even that special. I mean, it had to be special. But, okay, so,
you have a kidnapping phone call story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So this happened, which was a huge deal to me, but not a big deal to anybody else in the 90s or even now when I tell the story. I said, I don't know if I don't tell it right, but it was...
I think because we know you're okay. I mean, everything was okay. Like,
yeah, but at the time when it happened. All right. So this
is what
happened.
I think we're so desensitized.
Like, yeah, really.
Yes.
Like Missy said, I knew I was okay. So I was like, what are you freaking out about?
Yeah. So this story kind of relates to... a children's home phone. I mean, okay, so my parents had a phone line and we had a phone line, which my next story is going to really be focused on the children's phone line. But, so in the phone book, it said children's phone line and we had a parent's phone line. So this person called, I will say I was like 16 or 17 and somebody calls my parents' phone line, which they must have not known me very well because they didn't call my phone line, which I had had for years at this time. My sister was about, Missy was probably, I was maybe 16 or 17, so that means she's 5 years older than me, so she was 21 maybe or 22, and I think she came home on the weekends. She didn't live at home anymore, she was at college, but she was home every weekend because she was dating a guy that lived in our town at home, so she would come home every weekend, and I guess this was on the weekend, and I was home alone, and she had actually gone to the beach with her boyfriend. She was on a beach trip with her boyfriend, so she was not home, and we did not have cell phones at this time. So I get a call on my parents' line, which, you know, I thought was odd, and they said, you know, can I speak with Mandy or whatever, and I said, this is her. And
they asked for you specifically?
They did ask for me specifically. They wanted to talk to me, and they said, we have kidnapped your sister. The guy said, I've kidnapped your sister, and, you know, we're going to kill her if you don't come and meet me at, say, I don't know, it was this Chevron on this road. I can't remember exactly where he wanted me to come meet him at this certain time, or he was going to kill my sister. So I didn't know, like, what to do. You know, I was like, what the heck? So I'm home alone. So I go and, like, say, hang on a minute, and I go get the other, and I get the cordless out of my bedroom because we all had landlines. We didn't have any. And I called. So my sister was at this beach condo with her boyfriend, which I should have known she wasn't going to be there during the day. I mean, they were out at the beach or whatever. So I got the other phone and I was like trying to call her at the beach condo at the same time. I didn't want to hang up the guy because, I mean, this was so like random and weird. And I mean, really, things didn't happen like this in our town. Obviously, that's why no one took it seriously.
And you didn't plan to dance the phone and somebody say that.
No, like, totally. And the weird thing was, she was gone.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get in touch with her. So how did I know that this guy was telling me the truth or not?
And did you try to call your parents?
I don't think I did at the time. Because we'll get into that with the next story, too, for some reason.
Well, because they usually, if we call at work, they're like, I'm at work.
No, they did. They did. They'd be like, I'm at work, I gotta go, or something.
Yeah, but don't bother me with this crap.
Yeah, and so at the time, I didn't want to hang up with the guy. So I was, like, scared to hang up, but I was also, like, thinking this is hopefully bull crap or whatever. But anyway, so he was, like, you know, really pressuring me to come meet him and that, you know, we're going to do this to your sister. I mean, I can't remember the details exactly, but we're going to harm your sister. We're going to do this if you don't come meet us at this time and this. So I guess finally I couldn't get in touch with her, so I just didn't know. And I guess we just hung up the phone, and I wasn't sure if she was really abducted or not. But I called my parents. I'm pretty sure luckily I was smart enough to, like, y'all were smart enough to not answer the door.
Yeah, not go to the Chevron.
Yeah, I did not go meet this person, and I did not, you know, at the time they wanted me to. So I'm pretty sure I called my parents, or I just waited till they got home and I told them what happened. And they were like, oh, that's crazy. And like, just blew it off. Like, it was nothing. And then when Missy finally gets home, I think I maybe got in touch with her and I was like, are you with Jerome? Are you at the beach? And she said, or I was like, are you with your boyfriend? You're at the beach. And she said, yeah, I am, and I'm fine. What are you talking about? And I was like, somebody called me and said that they had kidnapped you and they were going to hurt you. And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I got to go. And, you know, like, so anyway, nobody took me seriously. So now, thinking back, that was really screwed up. And, like, I don't know. It was,
well, you know, prank calls were really big back then.
Yes, they were.
Especially before caller ID. I mean, even after caller ID, then we would do Star 69, like,
but nobody's business. But I got prank calls now. I mean, I definitely got prank calls. I did prank calls.
Oh, I did too. I never got, like, but that was like, I'm kidnapping and murdering somebody.
No, that was, like, insane. And the crazy part of the whole story is that my sister, my parents, and everybody blew it off. But, I mean, obviously, I didn't go meet them, and I didn't think my sister was gonna, you know, get murdered. I hope I didn't think that. Okay, so our last story is another phone call, 80s, 90s, whatever story. So my sister is Missy. Say hey, Missy.
Hey.
We got her to call in and tell the story. Our childhood pedo, maybe, story that we had.
It's like a creeper.
Creeper. I mean, it wasn't pedo, I guess, but okay. So, Missy, tell the story about, so we're 5 years apart. I did say that. So this started, this guy called us, and I want to say it started when, what, Missy, I was like probably 12 or 11, and you were 16, maybe? Or was it even younger? Yeah, I think so. Or were we even younger, you think?
I think, no, I mean,
I feel like younger, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe junior high.
You were in junior high. That means I would have been in, like, elementary school, right? Or intermediate school. Okay.
Yeah.
So, back in the, for people that don't know this, children, when we had a phone book, this stupid list, I mean, this was so dumb, but it listed your parents' phone number or your phone number, and it had your address, and then so it listed my parents', you know, phone number and address, and then the right under it, me, Missy, and Brett had our own phone line, my sister and brother, and I was really young when I got it. I want to say I was in like third grade, so I was probably in like, you're probably right, I was probably in fifth or sixth grade when Mark started calling. That was his name, Mark. And
because I was 13 when I got my own phone line.
Okay, so you were 13. Yeah, I was like way young, but I got it because they got it. And so in the phone book, it said children's telephone, and it didn't have a name. It just said children's telephone, and it had our phone number.
Can you even imagine?
No. Is so dumb, okay? So Missy and I, not long after we get our own phone, I guess, we start getting a caller that calls us for not like, you know, weeks or months, but for years. And go ahead, Missy. Sorry. You tell the rest of it.
Well, I mean, there was this guy that would call, and I've decided that he just went through the phone book, and he was like, okay, let's see who has children's telephone, and whoever he called, maybe he'd be lucky, and he would get someone on the phone that would actually talk to him, and maybe be a female or male, whatever he was looking for at the time.
That would be us.
But it happened to be us, and he called just to talk and say that, you know, he wanted to ask us questions about, you know, our family, our siblings, and where we went to school and how old we were and, you know, what we were wearing. And
did those questions get answered?
Yeah, I think I answered all the questions because I didn't know.
We were idiots and we were children. And say how he said his name, like, every time he would call. Say how he said his name. Because there was no caller ID or Star 69.
Yeah, he would say his name was Mark, and he would
call. But say how he would say it. He'd say, this is Mark. Every time he called.
And you could hear kids in the background.
Yes. Yeah, I could hear kids in the background screaming and stuff. And that would be, you know, when he'd call, I guess, when he would get home from work. Because it was always in the evening. I remember it was always dark outside. And he would call, and you could hear kids in the background. So, I mean, I was smart enough to know that this was a grown man that probably had a family, but I wasn't sure why he was calling us. And for a while, it was just like, hey, maybe he's got the wrong number, you know, and then he just kept calling and kept calling, so we obviously knew he wanted to talk to us.
And stay on the phone and pass the phone around.
We would pass the phone around to our friends. Like, we'd be like, it's Mark. And we're like, you talk to him. And I'm busy right now. Like, it was like a constant in our life. Like, we didn't know anything. It's like, I mean, we had to have known a little bit. We knew he was a creeper, but we didn't really, like, we just let it keep going.
We were safe in our home because we didn't know.
And we just, like, let it kept going for years because we didn't, there was no blocking. There was no, and if we didn't answer, remember, Missy, he'd just keep calling.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he would call, and then I'd say, well, I have to go. And he would say, no, don't get off the phone. Don't get off the phone. You know, and I used to think, gosh, why does he want to talk to me so
his
bad?
His wife must have worked at night.
This is a dummy work. He'd be like, what are you wearing? He'd talk like that. It was like a reverse instead of a female.
Well, my pajamas are polka dotted.
Yeah. We would be like, well, I got a blue shirt on. Like, we had no idea. Like, we're so dumb. And we told our kids about this not long ago. My daughter and Missy's twins, and they were like, we just acted like it was no big deal. We were like, yeah, this guy Mark used to call us for like years, and they were like, what? Like, it freaked them out. And we were like, yeah, I mean, I guess it was kind of weird. And so, like, literally, it was like so weird, and we were so stupid. And later on, we realized that he looked up children. We thought he just like called the wrong number one time, and
I think he could have been somebody's parent, like somebody we know's parent.
I don't know. I think I even remember him asking me if I've ever kissed a boy, things like that.
Gross.
I mean, I would probably have a boyfriend at the time. Like, I would click over, and he would stay on the line for like an hour.
Click over while we were talking and, to your boyfriend. Yeah, call waiting. Like,
yeah, and he wouldn't hang up, you know, and he just wouldn't get off the phone. And then if we didn't talk to him, then he would continuously call and call and call and call. Yeah. And it never stopped.
And nobody ever reported it.
No, and the weirdest part of, and I'll tell you how it did finally stop, but the weirdest part of it all was that, like, our parents never did anything about it, or did we never tell them? Like, Missy and I talked about it. I don't think we told our parents. Like,
I don't think we really understood the magnitude of calling, of how bad it was and how wrong it was, and like how, you know, what it could have evolved into. Like, we knew our address to our home.
Yes, because it said it in the phone book.
It could have come there and got us, you know, so we don't know.
Because he probably said, are you home alone? And I'm pretty sure, because I know he said that. And I'm pretty sure we said,
my parents are home for an hour or so.
I mean, I do remember him asking us, like, every time where our parents were or if they were at home. And I used to be like, why? Why does it matter if they're home? Like, I mean, you know, you're calling to talk to us, aren't you? You're not them.
It was so dumb. I mean, we were so dumb. And, I mean, the funny part was, when we would pass it around, like, the phone around, I'd be like, Missy, it's Mark. Like, he was one of our friends. That's how it became. Like, it was such a normal thing in our life. And it was really messed up.
They would have, like, the SWAT team.
Oh, like, it'd be, like, to catch a predator.
Profiling.
Yeah, like the things that we do. So, Missy, at this time, I'm pretty sure you had moved out by this time, right? You had gone to college. So,
Caller ID came out.
Yeah, when Caller ID came out, we Googled it because we were wondering, because it was like the best thing that ever happened. Do y'all remember that came out? Mm-hmm. And we think
it's... another thing I thought about, he used to get really frustrated too when I would pass the phone off to someone else. Like, he would get really angry and be like, I don't want to talk to anybody else. You know, he wanted to talk to me. And he was like my stalker.
He was more your stalker, than mine. But
he had to have known you in some way.
That is so crazy.
There's no social media. There's no way to see what she looked like.
We just thought it was children's telephone. I mean, you get a road by our house.
He would get really mad at me and kind of scare me. You know, sometimes I'd be like, why is he getting so angry about wanting to talk to me?
The grown man, that was calling us for 5 years.
A grown creepy
Mark.
Man.
I thought you were my friend, Mark.
And I was smart enough to know that, like, he was an older person. Like, I mean, I knew that there was kids in the background, and I knew he was lying probably because I kept saying, you're married, you have kids. And he'd be like, what are you talking about? No, I don't. And then sometimes, you know, he would jump off the phone, like, if he had to, like, if his wife walked in, I guess.
Yeah. But, and his name was obviously not Mark, but, I mean, who knows who he was?
You know, and then when he couldn't talk to me, you know, he wanted to talk to my sister. And so he would, because he couldn't find me. He didn't know where I went. You know, he didn't know where I went to college or how to get in touch with me.
Oh, it's the second best thing in line, yeah.
And so he moved on to my little sister because that was the next best thing. And so he continued to call her and harass her and try to get him, you know, being able to have conversations with her until she figured out how to end it.
Then caller ID happened.
Yeah, caller ID happened.
Mark got squashed.
And I'm not kidding, y'all. I swear, I think, and so Star 69 wasn't, I thought it was first, but it wasn't always effective because it would only call the last person back, all right?
Right.
So finally, I don't know if I swear, I think it was the day I got it, okay? So he, Mark calls, right? And the phone number and the name. It had the name, too. It wasn't just the phone number. This one had the name. So I don't know. Maybe the phone number came out first. But this one had the name. And it said his name, which I cannot remember because I'm pretty sure I was 15 years old. So there's no clue that I can, you know, there's no way I can remember that. But I remember he called me and it was like the best thing, you know, ever. I was like this waiting for this day to happen. And so he calls me and I remember I said, he said, "This is Mark," like he always did. And I was like, "Hey, well, Mark," I said, what do you think your wife would think if I told her that, and I said his name and I said his phone number, called me. And that was calling
He's
me.
Like, oh,
and he hung up the phone and we never heard from Mark ever again. And I still was so stupid. I never told my parents, never told him Mark's name, never told him his phone number, never told anybody. I just continued on with the, I don't know what you call it, abuse.
Told me, because it was like a celebration. It was like a...
Mark is over. It's over. It's over.
It was the end of the chapter of the stalker.
I'm free. Yeah, we were free of Mark, which, like I said, we like just told our kids randomly and... thought it still to this day. I think at first we thought it wasn't a big deal or
we
something.
We just thought Mark was a nuisance. Like,
yeah, like a part of our life
again.
Yes,
but so anyway. Annoying, Mark.
Yeah, my 18-year-old son said tonight, "Why didn't you just block him?" I was like, "How would I block him when
that
I
didn't happen?"
Take the phone off the hook.
Yeah, you can take the phone off the hook. You're right.
Telephone with no access to blocking anybody or anything.
Yeah.
So there was no way to do that. You just had to live with the phone calls and. I don't know how we...
And at that age, there's no way I wouldn't answer my phone.
Well, and this
no way. And we just talked to Mark because it was somebody to talk to.
To us, and we didn't, you know, we came out of this okay. But, I mean, later on, you know, when you start watching all these shows and learning all this stuff, you're like, I've literally had a pedophile stalker that stalked
me for 5 years.
But we didn't have, like,
it was very toxic.
Yeah, we only had, like local news. So we didn't know what was going on out in the world outside of, like, Prattville, Millbrook, and Montgomery.
Yeah,
people
Alabama,
didn't get
little small towns,
kidnapped and all
people
that
get
stuff.
Murdered.
We thought we were totally safe there.
I mean, if we knew anything, it was because of like HBO, and that was it.
Yeah, that was made up. Like that wasn't real.
MTV, but they just play music videos back then.
That wasn't real.
No, so I mean, just a creepy thing that happened to us.
Yeah.
But
I know. So,
but
we survived
all of it. Yeah.
Can you believe it? The 80s and 90s, UFOs,
dead
cows, calling us. You know, Missy
Rainbow vacuum cleaner demonstration.
They got abducted. I mean, people abducted. Yeah, that would have been awesome. But people telling me they had my sister kidnapped. And everybody just acted like, oh, that's crazy. That never would happen in Prattville, Alabama. So you must have just had a prank call, which I wasn't sure if I did. So good thing I didn't.
Well, I'm glad we survived, and glad we're here to tell our...
I'm pretty sure Mark is probably like a BTK killer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. What if Mark listens to Two Blonde Sleuths, and he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, but his name was not Mark.
Yeah, my husband said, well, I don't know if that's a good idea because, I mean, there might be repercussions of that. He may come back and be angry. I said, we don't even know who he is.
Yeah, Mark couldn't take us anyway if he wanted to. There's no way.
No way, Jose.
Mark has to be at least in his 70s now.
Out of those 5 years, if he never came, he knew our address, and he never came and abducted us or broke into our house or anything like that, I'm pretty sure. And we know Peep and Tom's were ever outside of our house, we know of. So... well, maybe Missy had a couple of that one.
I mean, anyway. He could be in jail at this point. We have no
or
idea.
Or did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Or listening. Mark, if you're listening. Mark.
This is Mark. He said, this is Mark.
I'm like, hey, Mark.
Yeah. And we'd be like, hey, Mark. What? I mean, I'm just watching TV. He's like, what are you doing?
I'm going to walk a Dairy Queen.
Yeah. I'm Leah, we would say, I'm going to walk a Dairy Queen. I got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so stupid.
What are you wearing?
Yeah. He said, what are you wearing? But it was like in that kind of, so that wasn't his real voice.
Like rolling our eyes. Like,
maybe we really did know him and that wasn't his real voice because he'd say, well, what are you doing?
I'm telling you, I think it was probably somebody's creepy dad.
Or like a teacher.
Ugh. Ew.
Who knows?
Anyway.
I watched too much TV.
Mark, yeah, damn it.
Now.
We got smarter when we got older, that's Mark. Right. We wouldn't put up that shit anymore. Yeah.
And our kids are much smarter now.
Oh, my gosh. So much smarter than us.
Invented and put them into it all.
And investigation discovery.
Yeah. And the internet.
I'm a lot more alert now.
And the national news and everything. But anyway, thank you, Missy.
Thank you, Missy.
For telling the Mark story.
Bye. Okay.
Talk to y'all next time.
Okay. Bye. All right. So...
I hope you liked our little campfire stories tonight, and that you could follow us. Pretty much, I get off task very easily. But
send in your stories if you have any other ones. We're gonna do like a real episode next week, like a real case.
Yeah, we'll do a case, and then but our email, if you would like to, is
twoblondesleuths@gmail.com. Two spelled out TWO.
And yes, follow or subscribe or whatever to the Two Blonde Sleuths podcast, Apple Podcast.
Follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
Like us on Facebook.
We have a Facebook page.
Oh, I didn't know y'all had an IG.
We did.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that sounded real.
A whole like 85 IG, I think.
Yeah.
But we're getting there.
Well, tomorrow, 86.
Yay! Thanks, Stephanie.
For being on our podcast. I hope you will be a guest again and tell another story. And
I've got so many stories.
Oh, good.
It's exciting. I like doing
only one UFO though. That was it. That was my one and done. The rest is all crime.
Please, anybody write in any UFO stories because those are my favorite. Because sometimes the crime stuff kind of wears on you. At least do something a little different. But thank you for listening to Two Blonde Sleuths.
We'll be back next week
with a new episode.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.